Welcome. You're listening to Three Bothered Fathers, where we talk about what it is to be a father in today's society. Please listen, like, and share. God bless.
Well, welcome back. Welcome, welcome. If you're listening, we are indeed alive. It means you have come back to the fountain of life, which is the Three Bothered Fathers podcast. It's been about 2 years since we last gathered, but some shit has happened. And if you're listening, you're aware that we're living in a pandemic now. And so we're gathered back together. I'm John Suits. I'm here with my brother, Jared Suits. He either has coronavirus or has just successfully mated with a horse. So
no, I just got done smoking a pack of cigarettes. That's how I deal with stress.
Yeah. Which is great because smokers are at a higher risk. So and then I'm here with my cousin Drew Walden.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here tonight. This is a bit of a, we don't want to call this a relaunch of the podcast, but that's really what it is. We're all at home. We've got time. And now we're back together. And we're gonna talk about it. We're going to launch right in. We'll jump back to our normal format. If you recall, we used to kind of address what was in the news and then kind of talk about a topic of the day. But the news is the topic of the day, which is COVID-19. We're now living in a time where the World Health Organization has declared this a global pandemic. We're now in a national emergency. Every state has declared a state of emergency. We're living in Tennessee, and we're like most states in the union. We're seeing restaurants closing down, schools are shut down, lots of businesses are starting to slow production. And life as we knew it has come to, we don't want to say a halt, but it has slowed down drastically. And so we want to talk about that from the perspective of how does this affect men, particularly fathers, those who want to be dads, and what do we do during this time? So I guess I'll just launch right in by saying, what the hell? What's going on, guys? This is crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I did not expect March of 2020 to be this. I was expecting March Madness. I was expecting NBA basketball ramping up. I was expecting life as normal. And all of a sudden, I feel like I'm living in a dystopian future where I'm having to go to Publix and murder old women to get a piece of meat.
True.
It's wild out there.
Yeah. What about this toilet paper? So I've been a long-time user of a bidet, so I haven't had this problem. But I understand people are getting pretty upset about toilet paper.
Yeah, that was the first thing to happen, right? In terms of the I'm not sure. Has anybody read anything about that? I read one thing that kind of hinted on it. Anybody else see anything? Jared, did you see anything about this?
Yeah, the what I came across was early on in the early stages of America becoming aware of this this virus. There was a warning to older people because the truth is it affects older people way more than it affects anybody else. And so they were basically telling older folks, hey, stock up on the essentials so you're not having to go to the store. And when they listed the essentials, they put toilet paper as and hand sanitizer and a few other things as an essential. Well, we live in a media saturated, oversaturated market where people sort of take what media says and then sort of translates it for themselves on Facebook, text messaging, all these different things. And it just sort of blew up and everybody was buying tons of toilet paper. And like Drew, I have converted myself over to a bidet a couple years ago, and bidet users just sit back and laugh at you savages that still use toilet paper. But it's pretty wild out there. I liken this to like in East Tennessee, when the snow comes, everyone goes crazy. We get an inch of snow and everyone goes to the store and buys milk and bread. Well, this virus came and everyone went to the store and bought toilet paper and hand sanitizer. So it's a pretty crazy time.
Yeah, and I gotta say that is a bad combo. Like, don't use hand sanitizer on the toilet paper to wipe. That will burn the hole very severely. That is not a I don't know what news page I was reading, but man, do not do that. But yeah, no, it's crazy. The thing I read talked about control, which is kind of a segue into what we want to talk about, our first theme. But what I read was that people were doing this feeling of this pandemic, right? That word is scary. Like, you hear that, epidemics, pandemic, your mind thinks everything's going to fall apart. Life as we know it is over. And so I need to take control over something. Everything's out of control, and now I've got to have something under control. And I suppose, you know, the toilet paper somehow represents our control over something. So now I can at least, as the world falls apart, I can wipe my butt consistently. And so it's interesting, the hand sanitizer thing too, right? You know, this idea that we have control over this situation. And I think particularly for men, that has been, and I can honestly confess, that's been the big issue, being stuck at home, can no longer get out. The kids are out of their routine. My wife is working. I'm back at the house. We'll talk about what happened in the past 2 years. I got out of the house. I know the listeners were eager to know that. I got out. I escaped Alcatraz. But then God put me back in Alcatraz. So welcome to the rock. But I feel this loss of control. My life is now disrupted by forces that are beyond me. And I feel honed in. Have you, either of you, experienced this?
Well, I have been someone who has used control, and control is one of those words. Like, we use the word control, and you can think of someone who's sort of in control as this brooding sort of powerful person that sort of takes his fist and pounds it into the clay and turns it into something powerful and majestic. But the truth is, a lot of men, and myself included, and women too, but this is, I've found that this is a common practice among men, especially fathers for some reason, but we use control, the idea of control, the fact that we can sort of determine our destiny, so the fact that we can sort of make the mold what we want it to make it, and so that's you know, I think youth sports are a great example of that. I think fathers sort of push their kids into youth sports to sort of control, to make something out of it. I think we think we go to a job and we're going to make the money, and we're going to be in control of that, that we're going to be the ones that provide for our families, blah, 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 blah. And this is a very fascinating thing, because I'm in a situation where I've come back into the house. It's another story for another day. And I was going to be using this time for self-evaluation, assessment, and sort of launching some new projects and things like that. And I found myself homeschooling my kids today, and they call me teacher in the morning, and they treat me like all kids do, with little respect, and they're yelling at me and not doing their work. But it's kind of crazy. It's wild.
Teacher in the morning, bastard in the afternoon.
Well, yeah, I wish I would have had a teacher like me, you know, sitting there watching a bunch of YouTube videos.
I actually did have a teacher like that, just like you. He would sit there drunk, yelling at us. It was great. Oh, man.
But yeah, so you're right. You're trying to find a sense of what can I do to sort of make this. And the truth is, we can't. There's not anything any of us can do. We're in a situation where we sort of have to do what we're told, which is really hard to do.
Right, right. Exactly. Drew, what are your thoughts?
Well, as far as being at home, that hasn't much changed for me. I work from home. But a lot of things have been canceled. You know, a lot of meetings that I have to travel to have been canceled. The sports that I like to watch have been canceled. The church that I go to has been canceled. That has disrupted my life more than anything, is losing that weekly rhythm at church.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm still confused. I did not know, is Jesus high risk for this? Why is he not showing up? I'm just so confused.
That one, as an outsider, I'm truly, for the first time in my life, I do not have a church right now. Currently, I'm no longer with my former church. Love that church, love the people, but other situations in my life have sort of caused me to move this way. And I was looking forward to skipping church for a while, and now they cancel all the churches, and everyone's like doing what I'm doing on Sunday morning. And so it's like a bunch of atheists and backsliders are upset that we're crowding in on their territory, sleeping in on Sunday morning.
I know. It's like, hey, wait a minute.
But I think what Drew said there is just so crucial, that, the rhythm of life, the schedule of life is sort of thrown out of whack, and it just sort of, it causes a lot of stress and personal anxiety, and it can bring people some dark places.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. We've never experienced anything like this in any of our lifetime. I mean, there are a select few people who are still alive that can remember the Great Depression. And let's be real, they're probably not listening to this podcast.
They're probably dead from the coronavirus, John.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Bye, Grammy.
Good Lord. We really do take this serious, folks. We're just laughing because we're nervous.
Yeah, that's actually something people do in times like this. They either get nervous and they collapse, or they just do what we do and we mock it.
Turn dark. Very dark.
Dark humor.
But no, none of us have experienced anything quite like this. The last crisis that the globe experienced to this effect in terms of economically was the Great Recession in 2008, 2009, and the market collapse. And if you look at the numbers, particularly with men, in terms of how that impacted men's health, it was devastating. Drastic increases in suicide, in stroke, in heart attacks. And so it's really men, I think, in terms of the psychological impact of this crisis, I think men are going to be at the front line of this. What do you all think?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the other night we were, downstairs watching TV or playing video games. I can't remember what we were doing, but I was on Reddit reading some folks who do, stock trading and stuff, and I was reading through their comments, and I mean, it put a really heavy burden on me reading what they were saying about how bad the situation is, and it's something completely out of my control. We're so, especially in this country, we're so used to a certain way of life, but the truth of the matter is lots and lots of people are losing their jobs, and you can't control it. I mean, in an instant, everything that we think is permanent can change, and there's absolutely nothing we can do about it.
Oh yeah, and there's many ways you can approach that, and you can approach it from a sense of like, I know one of my other brothers who's not on this, he's out there and he's excited because he's buying all this stock for this dirt cheap. So you have people like that who are like, yeah, let's do it. And you have others who are scared to death that they're going to lose their job and their job's not going to be there. And the truth is, that's going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. And as someone who currently does not have a job, it is not a very safe place to feel that you exist in. But I think it also, for Christians especially, I think it shows us that just the power of humility, that we are like the birds in the air. We do depend upon God to provide our needs, and we think that we can control so much. We think that our will determines so many things in our lives, but that something that some virus that is sickening people halfway around the world just a few months ago all of a sudden has shut down our homes and our livelihoods, and it's very humbling and calls us to take a second look at, oh, maybe this whole Christianity thing is a real thing and not just something we pretend it is, that we just put ourselves in a nice little place, you know, like, oh, I'll go to church on Sunday and, you know, and to do the things I need to do the rest of the week, blah, 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 blah. But I think we're getting to the point that we're seeing that we're going to have to truly lean in on God more and more.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, yeah, it's really interesting because, like, that's a great point, that we are totally helpless. And this is, I suppose, this is probably, I don't want to say the biggest takeaway, but it may be that we are utterly and totally helpless and dependent upon God's mercy. And not just for our salvation of our souls, but for the actual livelihood that we have, because it can all be taken away. And we don't know what's coming down the pike. It's not looking good economically. I think a lot of people are beginning to see, and if you read certain segments of the news, people are taking this virus very seriously. But I think the long-term impact is going to be, you know, what does this do to the economy? What does this do to life as we know it? And for men, that's particularly difficult. All of us, Drew and Jared and myself, you know, I've spent the past year heavily investing into a new career. Jared had plans to make, to basically, and he's still doing this, to start his own business, essentially. And Drew is, you know, really in the early middle part of his career. And it could all be taken away. We have no right to it. And we can work hard, but we kid ourselves if we think we have a sense of control. And I called this situation to my wife a cursed blessing. That it's it feels as if I'm cursed, or this country's cursed, or the world is cursed, but it is in fact a blessing, because I know God will show Himself and is showing Himself if we'll just slow down. Yeah. And I think we're all having to slow down, right? I mean, everyone is experiencing the slowdown, right?
Yeah, and it is a blessing. I mean, and honestly, I woke up on Saturday morning, and I was just thinking of the fact that all these fathers who typically are, you know, they've had a stressful week, and they wake up on Saturday thinking they got to get all this stuff done. They got errands to run. They got games they want to watch. They got kids to take to practice. And all of a sudden, they woke up on Saturday, and all that was gone. And hopefully it turned an opportunity, not for guys to get onto their phone and play Words with Friends or do horrible things on their phones or anything like that, but maybe it turned an opportunity for them to actually, you know, hang out with their kids more and get to know them. And it's causing us to sort of eat at home more, which is okay. Yes, it's horrible for the restaurant industry overall, but I mean, honestly, we eat out too much. And when we eat out, we're distracted and we're just in a hurry. And now, I mean, we're cooking every night and we're making meals together and we're sitting at the dinner table and we're talking about life in a way that maybe we wouldn't have. And we're having fun. I mean, me and my kids, we were out there today digging the dirt looking for worms because we got to eat something. I know Drew sent me a picture of him doing something with his kids with a blue puppet sock. I don't know what it was. What was that? What were you doing?
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Blue Sock. So we watched the documentary on Mr. Rogers last night. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful movie. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's an excellent movie to make you realize how terrible of a person you are.
I don't need a movie to show me that.
So that was an attempt of me trying to talk to my children and get them to behave through a puppet like Mr. Rogers did.
Mr. Blue Sock sounds like a homeless jazz musician that I've given money to that went and bought blues.
I saw that picture of you with that blue sock, and I just imagine your kids years from now talking about you saying, "Oh, Daddy lost his mind years ago." Yeah, do you remember when he had that blue sock?
Do you remember the Great Depression of 2020 when Daddy only talked to us through a blue sock?
No, I remember growing up, my dad didn't use a blue sock. He used what he called a brown belt. And Mr. Brown Belt, he didn't talk. He just whished through the air. ferocity.
Yeah, and he wasn't Mr. Brown Belt. He was Lord and Master Brown Belt.
He's all-encompassing savior.
He was Skeletor. No, it's...
I think it's interesting. I think Jared made a comment about how... Or maybe it was John. I can't remember who said it. But how this change is showing us that we have to rely on God, right? So how is that affecting y'all? Because I feel like it's having the opposite effect on me.
What do you mean opposite effect? Like you're relying on the devil?
No, it's...
I've been in the house 4 days and I'm worshiping Satan.
It's like, okay, I can't go to church anymore, so I don't feel like doing my daily prayers. I don't feel like doing the evening prayers. I don't know. It's like I just...
Yeah.
It's almost no, like I don't want to say abandoning it, but it's strange. It's just
no, I get it. I mean, this is coincided, and this is no joke. I stepped away from pastoral leadership at the local church I was serving March 1st, and just a few days later, all this hit. And I mean, I left for many reasons. One, and I don't want to get into right now. We'll talk about that later. But the thing I had always, even at serving as a pastor and working in the church in some capacity, or working in ministry for some capacity for almost 20 years, I found myself not relying on God and relying on myself. And so just to be thrusted in this situation has been this sort of, I think I wake up some days just so dependent upon Jesus's power for peace and love and hope. But 10 minutes later, I'll come across an email or article or something like that, and it thrusts me into this, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What's happening? I'm an idiot. Why did I leave? Oh my gosh, our bank account's going to go away. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be, you know, eating worms in the backyard, all these different things. And it is sad that the church is not meeting. No church is meeting for the most part, except for those crazy snake handling churches, but you know, they're to them, this virus is just like it's nothing when you've been sucking on snake juice all day.
Oh, come on, devil, bring the COVID. I got it.
Well, it is kind of funny. The snake handling churches are like, oh, you ain't meeting because you're going to get little sniffles. Try getting bit by a cobra. I get it. We all just need to go to those churches. That's
You think you're struggling? We let our kids play with cobras in Sunday school.
But I think it does, just to kind of finish up my thought on it, is it does make me realize that, yes, the church is there for me on Sunday and needs to be. But I throughout the week, it maybe has shown a lot of us that, wow, we really – without that Sunday morning hour, 2 hour experience, we're pretty shallow in our faith. And
yeah,
expose that, I think, in a lot of folks, not just me, but everybody, hopefully, that they go, oh, wow, my discipleship is pretty, pretty pathetic.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's been very difficult, very trying. One of the things that came to my attention yesterday was, wow, like I've had old sins rearing their head, anger issues and things that a lot of men struggle with, and just things that you could easily say, wow, you know, I was doing really good with this. And then all of a sudden, this has reared its head. But I think a lot of folks are going to experience this, Drew, and myself included. And I would say that this isn't what this is showing all of us is not just our helplessness in the economy, but our helplessness in our own salvation, that we, we can't even pray when we're under stress, right? We can't, you know, and being deprived of our church service on Sunday, for a lot of folks is going to be very challenging and very trying. It's going to create a sense of abandonment and loneliness. But I think listening to those around us, my own priest, Father Stephen, released a Facebook video where he talked about finding God, leaning into God in the abandonment, in the loneliness, because that's where God will be found. Christ unites himself to us in our suffering, and that's so difficult for us to think about. But even as we're struggling to pray, even as we are struggling to keep our disciplined, for most Christians around the world, this is the time of Great Lent. And this is, Drew, what did you call this period because of the quarantine today?
It's Super Lent.
It's Super Lent. This is Lent on steroids.
Yeah.
and the truth of the matter is the whole world's now been called into Lent. People are having to conserve. People are having to eat less. They're going to have to do right. I mean, we're not having our luxuries. We're not doing the things that we enjoy for entertainment. And we're having to face ourselves in the mirror as men, as people, as a globe. I mean,
and to what we are, fathers and bothered fathers. And this is very bothering. And we have to face ourselves as fathers. And that's as we get to, the latter half of our podcast tonight, I want us to talk a little bit about, there's the internal struggle that we're going through, but man, you don't think this is affecting our kids. I mean, I saw it today on Henry's face. We were just talking about something about not going back to school for potentially the rest of the semester. And we're going through a lot financially and stress and church and all these different things, but for our children who themselves are used to a rhythm and to be thrusted out of that rhythm and to have to all of a sudden do online learning or do homework more at the house or to hear their parents talk about do we have enough toilet paper in the house? Things like that. I mean, what do you got? I mean, this is, I would hope that the fathers out there, I know we're bothered right now by all this stuff happening to us, but our kids, we got to remember our kids during this time and make sure that we're setting them an example of someone that is not thrown to the winds of chaos.
Well, they're not worried because they pray to an icon of Donald Trump every night. And
your kids do?
They do. My son wears a MAGA hat and prostrates himself 3 times. He says, "I know you're going to lead this. I know you're going to lead us through this, oh great one."
It is kind of funny though that we're going through this potentially crazy time in American history, and our ancestors are going to look back. Not ancestors. Well, ancestors, they're dead. The coronavirus killed them years ago. But yeah. our great grandchildren, great great grandchildren, look back in history books and they're going to talk about the chaos of 2020, and they're going to like, who was the president that led them through this time? You know that guy that was in Home Alone 2?
You know this guy? He had a reality show where he looked at people and said, "You fired." Well, he became president, kids, and he led this country through the global pandemic depression of 2020. And I'm telling you, man, I mean, and all kidding aside, no politics. It doesn't matter. You know, pray for your leaders, though. This is a great reminder. Christians are commanded to pray for those in charge of them. So if you love Trump, stop loving him. Pray for him. If you hate Trump, stop hating him. Pray for him. My son, who is 3, he's really oblivious to this. He really doesn't know what's going on. He's just happy that the streaming videos are still going on. And but my daughter, who's in kindergarten, you know, she's coming to grips with that, the fact she may not go back to school for the rest of the semester. And, you know, she's out of rhythm. And it's already caused some, I wouldn't call it anxiety, but just some frustrations between her and me and my wife, and we're working through that. I'm personally not trying to hide this from my kids. I don't want to intentionally scare them, but I do want them to be aware that things are going on in the world, and it's important that we pray and that we stay together, that we work together, that we build a sense of kinship, that we become a stronger team together. That's the language I've been using in my house, and trying to prep myself to become the kind of leader that God really requires men to be. And to be honest, most of us never face these kind of situations where we have to be this kind of leader, and now it's kind of forced upon us. So we're having to become what we should be, and God's helping us through this situation. But yeah, it's difficult for kids. And I feel in particular for much older kids like yours, Jared, and even older kids who are, you know, I'm thinking middle school, high school age. This is a major disruption to them. They are smart enough to know what's going on, but lack the emotional maturity to be able to process that. And so I really think, yeah, this is going to be a crisis of fatherhood in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think from the fact that just seeing your parents go through certain hardships, but to see the world go, and the fact that so many, especially older kids, have access to the world in a way they've, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago did not. And so I think just being, you know, some quick pointers on that. This is some pointers I'd give for any parent with older kids. And, don't be afraid, like John said, talk to your kids, reassure them, let them know that it's going to be okay. We're fine. God is going to take care of us. Let them see your faith. Let them see your faith at this time. You know, it's okay for them to see you pray more and struggle more in your discipleship. Let them see that. Include them a part of that. Because if you're not a part of the church, because the church is shut down, they're not part of youth group, they're not part of middle school group, they're not part of going to children's church, all those different things. And so if that was the primary source of their faith, was going to youth group or children's church or something like that, and they no longer have that either, and the only thing they have is the media they're ingesting, because kids are ingesting a lot of media through video games and online videos. They're at a very scary time, more than ever. And I know we're bothered by everything happening in our lives and stuff. But one thing I have learned and I've taken away is, man, my family matters so much. It matters. They matter. They're the number. I can't control anything outside of this house that I live in. I can't. I can't control if I'm going to get hit by a car. I can't control if the stock market's going to go up or down. I can't control if some lady bought all the meat at the grocery store. I can't control that. But I can control how I act and how I treat my children and my wife, and I can show them what it looks like to be a follower of Christ in my own way. And that's hard. It's not easy. But they need it more than ever.
Drew, your thoughts?
Yeah.
I think you're all pretty much full of crap.
No, so, I mean, for my children, they're 3 and 5, and you know, it's funny, they know about the coronavirus. You know, we went to the local G Creek campground here a couple days ago, and she said, "Oh, we can't play on the playground because of the coronavirus." But you know, her main question is, you know, why can't we go to Chick-fil-A? Why can't we go to Walmart? Why can't we go to church? I guess the way I'm handling it is trying to I'm trying to spend less time on the phone and on the computer, even though most of the time that's not very successful. I'm making an attempt to spend more time face to face with the kids, hence the sock puppet.
Sock to face.
Sock to face, yeah.
Yeah, you still have an intermediary between you and your kids.
The thing is, face to face, doing sock to face.
The kids listen to the sock more than they listen to me, so it seems to be working. I guess it's gotta come from a third party, and that just happens to be a blue sock. So, that's what we're trying to do is you know, my wife and I are just trying to stay calm and explain to the kids what's going on and why we need to stay in, and you know, not necessarily for us, but you know, for our loved ones who are older. You know, we're talking a lot about loving our neighbor. You know, and that's why we're not going to church, and that's why we're not going out. It's not because we are fearful that something bad is going to happen, but we love our neighbor enough that we don't want to infect them if we were to get infected.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I think as we wrap up, you know, we're getting to that part where we need to wrap up because everyone's got so much to get back to. Like,
yeah, I've got 9 words with friend games that I've got to return to. I have to be honest.
I was watching Star Trek, the 3rd Star Trek Beyond, and I got to finish it. I got 10 minutes left. But I think just I would like us to end with a, you know, any words of encouragement you have for people, dads out there, or anyone else who's listening. My words of encouragement as I sit here and I think about it, if I was listening to this podcast, what I want to hear, and the one thing I want to hear is, it's okay. It is okay. The world is not going to collapse tomorrow. A lot of the excitement that we feel right now is because it's generated. This is the first worldwide crisis in the social media saturated culture, and this is one of the byproducts is people are information is so desegmented and so personalized, and it's so hyped up, it's all clickbait. So first of all, what you're hearing out there, it's not as bad as people are saying it. It's okay. It's going to be okay. And lean into that it's going to pass. This too shall pass. And just like generations before us, like instant crisis before us, I remember when I was in college during 9/11. Oh, that was crazy. That was a crazy, scary time. We weren't worried about getting a virus. We were worried about dying immediately from an attack because where I went to school was near a nuclear power plant. And we were afraid that that was going to be a target. And so it wasn't a virus. It was something else. And people got scared and people ran. And I remember just kind of huddling with my friends and we just sort of leaned into each other. And so my encouragement with everybody is just take a moment, turn off your phone, stop reading the news, stop trying to keep up with all the daily updates. You can't do anything about it. I mean, if you're Donald Trump and you're listening to this, then don't be listening to this, get to work. But everybody else, you can't do anything.
Just spend time. I really appreciate that, Jared. It's huge, huge advice.
Huge. Huge. But yeah, that'd be my advice, folks. Calm down. It's going to be okay. This thing is it's not the end of the world. It's not. This is not the end of the world. The world's going to end when the big dragon comes out and fire comes out of its mouth and 666 is on his forehead and beasts are chewing on our faces. I read No Left Behind Me series. What's the
No
Left Behind, Leave Me Behind Daddy series, whatever it is called.
Left.
But yeah, that's my
don't
word.
Don't leave me behind.
That's my word of encouragement. What do you what do you guys say to word of encouragement to anybody listening tonight?
Yeah.
Drew.
I mean, the biggest thing that stuck out to me is what you just said about turning off the phones, getting off the social media. I mean, when I was reading those day traders talk about the economy and the stocks on Reddit, I mean, it was seriously bumming me out. And I don't even have stocks outside of a 401k. I'm not one of those kinds of people. But I mean, just the thought of, you know, what can happen, what's going to happen, you know, I like these things that I have, and I like having money in the bank and et cetera, and that could all change in an instance. But, I mean, that can all change in an instant anytime. I mean, we recently had tornadoes in Tennessee that, I mean, wiped out whole neighborhoods. I mean, it's just split second. Everything that you think is stable can be gone. Your car, your house, your loved ones can be gone in a split second. And that this virus doesn't change that fact of life. So I guess going along with staying off of the news and staying off of the social media is remain calm, go outside, smell a flower, See the beauty in the world. Remain calm. Be happy. Love life while you have it, I guess. And if everything comes crashing and burning and it is the end of the world, then that's okay, too.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll just eat each other. We'll be fine.
Yeah. True, you taste good. My advice is basically the same thing that Jared and Drew are saying, which is go buy all the toilet paper and hand sanitizer, buy all the meat you can get, and buy a gun. I'm basically saying the same thing.
You got to buy a storage locker so you can store your 18 pallets of hand sanitizer.
Gun sales are up. People are getting nervous. Don't kill your neighbor over this. That's the last thing we need. Now, my thought would be live in the moment. Don't panic. Stay calm. And truly, none of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. So before this virus showed up, that promise that there's still no guarantee. We live in a world where we like to manage things through probabilities and correlations and statistics. And the truth of the matter is, there is a 100% chance at any moment we could die. That potential is always the case. And so none of us live outside of that reality. And embrace what you have in front of you, which is hopefully your wife and your children. When you're in middle school, you had really dark uses for those socks. Now get a sock puppet and help your kids. And just throw that other sock away and get the new one.
We gotta edit that out. You gotta take that out.
We'll cut that.
No, you're keeping that one. All right, but seriously, on behalf of Jared Suits, Drew Walden, and John Suits, three bothered fathers, we're still bothered, but we're also hopeful. So take heart. Christ said, I have overcome the world, and so soon we will all say together, Christ is risen, and that's the hope we all journey towards. So any final thoughts, any closing words?
Nope. That's it. Good job there. All right. Bye-bye-day.
All right. Bye-bye-day. See you on Words for Friends. Bye. Words with Friends. Love See ya. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week when we continue the conversation on being a father in today's world. Again, this is Three Bothered Fathers. Thanks for listening.